five guys talking shit.
You get to eavesdrop.
This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Stream the show live at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
Or load up on the podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
We're going to be stunned. You will be stunned by this news about the new study. It finds that consuming the marijuana after your workday is done has no impact on your next day's job performance.
No, there's no hangover. No, I don't know, man. Some edibles put me down. So explain that to me.
Yeah, like
I don't smoke weed, but when I used to, once in a great while, I definitely was not hungover. But some edibles will take you down.
Yeah.
If I eat the edibles.
Some of them are strong.
Too late.
I mean, you're done the next day for a while.
It'll just be a haze that follows you for a little while.
Right, right. And that's basically
a hangover.
I didn't
notice.
That's basically a hangover. I have.
He says while yawning. Geez, what's this haze thing you're talking about?
It's all in your head.
Yeah.
There's nothing in my head.
So I think the edibles actually do give you a hangover.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they seem to linger.
Yeah.
Depending upon how much you consume.
Now, the results show that marijuana use before and during the workday decreases performance.
Of course it does.
But supervisors did not report a drop-off in workers who use it after work. Supervisors are more likely to report declines in citizenship behavior and increases in counterproductive work behaviors among employees using right before and during work hours.
I know a guy that has a business job. I'll just say that. I'm going to give him up. And he drinks, but he would say, he told me that he would probably stop drinking altogether and just smoke weed, except they pee test him, and it's an office job. I mean, so to explain that to me anymore. It's just so crazy the corporations still do that. And rightly so, he could be hungover as hell, and he's got to be at work. And he drinks. Don't get me wrong. He drinks. And he said, I said, you're probably right. Because he's been high before, but he can't do it now because of P-Test, and he's got a really good job.
Ooh. Yeah, I've been
so explain that to me. I mean,
it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. The corporation, it makes no sense.
Well, it costs them money.
Right.
It doesn't make sense in a lot of ways.
No.
Yeah, well, if the boss is one of the old schoolers that think that marijuana and heroin's the same thing.
Like our dumb face in Lincoln.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to work somewhere that
it doesn't make any
random tests.
It doesn't make any sense. No.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
I would be fired. You failed that test. But yeah, it's probably going to happen repeatedly, so that's an issue. Let me know.
Our boss, old Whiskey Tom, rest in peace, Tom. He years ago, and he was a straight arrow. I mean, he drank a little bit. That's why we used to call him Whiskey Tom, but he was recovering for years. He said if they started drug testing in radio, he'd have nobody on the air. I mean, he said that. I'd have like three people in the hallways. There used to be a lot of people working here.
Nobody cool.
And he said, it's just dumb. It's entertainment.
Right. Not only that, he also knew that the people that he was talking about weren't necessarily smoking every day.
No. They were
guys. Maybe they did once a week or once every couple of weeks,
right.
Or
and
maybe it was a month ago.
And they weren't doing it at work. They were showing up and doing their job.
Right.
And they were talented people, yes.
Right. He knows they would still show up somehow, even if it was a couple of weeks ago.
Well, why shouldn't that exist for regular white-collar guys who just go into work and bust their ass
and
they're not hungover?
It should, but you know.
Yeah. I know.
People are bosses, like Dumbface.
Yep.
So my takeaway is
I like just that term, Dumbface.
We could all start smoking dope after we get off the air.
Yeah.
Except for Nick, who has another job.
Yeah, but
that's
I can start
correct.
Smoking once I'm done with that job.
Yeah, right.
And usually
I will tonight.
I will wait till after my workout. Mm-hmm. And now in the morning, right after we get off the air, we do the swimming thing.
With bow-legged women.
And then I take a nap and I'm up at 2:30 and I'm just looking at the vape and why not?
Do the old ladies in the pool look at you and go, I heard a show this morning, Todd. Come on.
No, they don't.
Come on.
Really?
Swim under my legs.
Because I don't really talk to anybody there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I just swim my laps and
they haven't heard the bow-legged women bit,
and go
right?
home.
Okay.
No, they haven't.
They don't say, hey, I can make these things bow.
They don't see you yearning for it.
I can make these things bow.
I'm not sure what that means.
I love it.
Yeah, when I
you make those bow for me.
There's maybe five or six people there at the most.
All right. So what was the story? Oh, weed.
Okay. We're moving on.
Yeah.
Good.
Go ahead and smoke weed after work. Yeah, it's not going to affect your
job performance.
Right. Your success.
The next day.
You're fine for the next day.
Mia Khalifa. You may remember her from porn.
I do, by the way. We talked about her a month or so ago, and I Googled her again.
Yeah, you'd like her. She's
she's talented. She's
Lebanese ex-porn star.
She's a Lebanese chick, and she was a flash in the pan.
Well, the Muslims hated her.
Yeah. She did some things in garb.
Right, in the hijab.
Right.
Yeah, and that wasn't cool for them. So after just a few months of doing that, she quit. She said that she only ended up making $12,000 off that specifically. But
there's some dispute.
There is some dispute on that. Nevertheless.
What's she doing now for money?
She has, I don't know. She's probably an influencer of some sort.
Yeah.
Or she,
private
she's probably
porn site?
Pimping something.
Okay.
I don't know. No, she doesn't do porn now.
I know.
No, she says.
Yeah, porn's like the fourth thing that comes up on Wikipedia. It says she's a social media personality, sports commentator, webcam model, and former pornographic actress.
She is now
porn
put,
would come up first. I thought I'd Googled the wrong person.
Yeah.
Like, a social media influencer. I thought she was naked.
She is putting up her famous glasses, her infamous or famous glasses. She has these glasses that she wears, and
they were basically
instantly
they worked as
recognizable.
A sneeze guard, but it wasn't snot.
they are instantly recognizable if you are familiar with Mia Khalifa at all.
Yeah,
she is putting up those glasses
on, right,
for auction to raise money for Beirut and victims of the huge.
Well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
But what creep's going to buy those?
Oh, yeah.
I love these in porn. Right.
Well, here's the
trouble. I put on a mannequin.
Does it still have ball sweat on them?
You know they do.
Anything I buy, I ask that question.
And if not,
people
can you put some on there?
People at Target are tired of you going over there.
Just tell him there's no ball sweat on this. I know what he's going to ask.
I don't want them if they've been cleaned.
Sir, they're apples.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, ball sweat on there.
It's a salty sweet thing for me.
So here's the trouble with this: the bids are up to $100,000, and people think the bids are fake.
I bet they are.
Oh, they may be
too much money. Real guys, really, really in the porn are not ponying $100,000 up. That gets you laid.
Now, so one person said, if someone will pay thousands of dollars for water that touched someone's ass, they'll pay hundreds of thousands for a piece of history in the porn industry. So some people think that it's all right, and people are that the bids are legit, but
how
most people think that they are not. You know they are fake when they win and then don't pay.
There's no money, right? And you don't send it out till they pay, right?
Till they win.
Yeah.
For $100,000.
Yeah, win and pay. Yeah.
You could pick out a porn star that you really like and probably spend a month with her.
Easily. When we used to talk to the late Dennis Hoff, porn stars are up there all the time.
Sure.
Yeah, you should stay with you for a month.
And then say, listen, at the end of this, can I keep your glasses?
it's my ball sweat.
You get a little more out of it than just a pair of glasses.
She also asked those who are not interested in her personal items just to donate to the Lebanese Red Cross instead.
That's a good idea. There they just call it the Red Cross.
They do. Unless they call it the Red Crescent there.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Oh, Craig, getting all heady on us there.
I like that. Right at the end about this story about glasses covered in ball sweat.
Craig got all intellectual on us, didn't he? Yeah. That's
nice.
That's what we do. Educated potty mouse.
Out of New York, Suffolk County detectives are trying to find out who's been stealing the cars of food delivery workers. In all the cases, the driver gets out to deliver the food, turns around, the car's gone. The people at the address never ordered the food.
Oh, it was all a setup.
Scum.
Since July 7th, there's been 7 food delivery car thefts in the county, just like that.
Take the keys with you as well as the food.
I know it's a pain in the ass to take the keys out, but just do it. Just do it. Shouldn't be that much of a pain in the ass. You're right.
I don't know.
But the thief has to act pretty quickly. They're not out of the car for that long.
No.
No, but they're waiting for them since they made the call. They know when they're going to be there.
Right. Well, yeah, obviously they're lurking nearby.
Yeah.
You know, nobody uses the word lurking. We should use that more often.
I do like that word.
Lurking. Mm-hmm.
You can be foiled, though, by some of the newer cars.
And foiled, too, by the way, is a good term.
That have the push-button start.
Yes.
Because, like, that's mine. It's got the push-button start. Yeah. The key is just always in my pocket.
Right.
And once you leave the vehicle with the key, you can't drive the car off.
No, you can't, right. But a lot of these people that drive these vehicles don't have push-button start cars. You see the cars pulling up.
But I mean, that's...
But even my car is...
Mine's a 2016.
I still have keys.
Mine's five years old, and it still has the...
Yeah, I'm going to guess most delivery guys don't have the push-button start car.
Yeah, probably not.
Well,
some of them do, though.
Right. Yeah. How much range does that key fob have?
Not much.
Not much. Well, no.
You get about 3-4 feet outside the car, and it starts to beep and say, "Nah, the key's not here. We're not going anywhere."
Yeah, I've gotten in the car. My wife's car has one of those key fobs, and if your ass is still outside the car, it won't. I mean, if you're kind of outside the car, you're right. It beeps right away.
Yeah. It won't go, huh?
Yeah. It'll stay running.
Yeah.
But you just can't. Yeah. You can't.
If you drive, stick
it,
your ass out the window, it might shut off.
I got a new vehicle, but I still got
to be a good test.
I got to stick the key in and fire it up.
Oh, I stole that one.
Just like the old days. All right. But I did notice that when I turn the key off, it tells you to check your back seat.
Is it an old-fashioned key or is it a key fob like mine?
No, it's an old-fashioned key.
Old-fashioned key, okay.
It goes in an old-fashioned keyhole. But make sure you
that's
check.
That's the way you like your old-fashioned.
Check your back seat.
You like your old-fashioned keyhole.
Yeah, I think that's a new safety thing where, hey, did you leave your car or your kid in the back? Is it a really hot day?
Right.
Maybe you should check.
Or your dog.
Yeah, that too.
Dogs don't like hot cars either.
Those button ones, though, I know they're safe. Well, actually, they're not safe. I know they're convenient. But the cars run so people forget. Our car ran for like 45 minutes. We were in a restaurant once. My wife drove. We got out of the car. She forgot. You know, just my dad, years ago, he let it run for like an hour. Outside, him and my nephews were running around doing stuff.
My dad left his going for several hours when we went to a ball game together.
And we pull into the garage, and I say, hit that button. I'm teaching my son to drive now. If he's in her car, I said, hit that button every time. Because they forget.
Yeah. My first experience with the push-button start was with a rental car.
I had no idea what you're
calling. I got no instruction, so I got about fumbled around for about 10, 15 minutes before Christy finally pointed out, maybe it's one of those, you just press this button. And it turns out,
I'm Todd.
You just press that button.
It was unfair there because that's happened every
time. That's very unfair.
I know, but I had to play it.
Yeah, I had a similar incident with a rental car. I think that was the first time I had one.
Yeah.
And I don't think they said you had to put your foot on the brake.
They didn't say that, right.
You had to put your foot on the brake and then hit the...
That might have been the problem. I was pushing the button, but nothing was going, and you got a brake.
I think now mine, if you hit the button without it, there's a little something on the screen that says put your foot on the brake.
Oh, it does.
Hey, dumbass.
Yeah, because obviously we weren't the first dumbasses.
All cars
not to figure that out.
Dumbass.
Yeah. A new analysis by the Brookings Institution shows that 50.7% of U.S. residents are under age 40. Boomers are no longer the majority.
That's good. That's good. I know boomers. A lot of them are angry. They're ditkas.
The combined millennial.
But unfortunately, I know some young people that are ditkas, too.
It's always weird.
Yeah. But the millennials, by the way, the under 40 crowd is going to own the country.
The young people.
Just vote and you get rid of this crap.
That you know. Are they raised by ditkas? The young ditkas?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I had to figure that's a nurture thing.
I just find out through my kids who the young Ditkas are. But there's more kids like my kids that aren't raised by Ditkas. I noticed that, hopefully.
The combined millennial, Generation Z, and younger generations numbered 166 million people. The combined Generation X, baby boomer, and older represented 162 million U.S. residents. The analysis says... Now the oldest millennial is 39.
We just discussed this off the air that, you know, we mentioned before. I know I vote for my kids. And I'd vote for me, too, because I'm liberal anyway. But I vote for my kids because things will change in the future. Yeah. And they are the ones going to.
Well, you vote for your kids.
Everybody's going to be gone.
Because they're not old enough.
Well, you know, I vote for their future, right?
With that
in
mind.
Oh, no, I thought you were
mind.
For their interest.
I thought you were turning in ballots with their names on.
Of course
because,
I was.
You know, how
of course
I was. That voter fraud is. Right, it's everywhere.
Right.
You can't get away from it.
I mean, the future is not Trumpism. It's just not. We know it's not. It's here. Unfortunately, it's here. but it's not the future of this country.
I read into this, though. There were cases of
Young people are in general are not racist. They're definitely not homophobic, and they're not xenophobic. And that group of people will own the world. Hopefully.
There were four or five cases of voter fraud in the last couple decades.
That's crazy.
It's out of control.
It's out of control.
That is out of control. Yeah, my kid, my oldest son especially is like in tune to like looking to see if something's racist or not.
Right.
But he can take it too far too. My wife doesn't like dark meat, like
right.
on chicken or whatever,
yeah.
and he's like, "That's racist." No, she just doesn't want the thigh. It's fine.
Is she being funny? Is she being funny? Yeah, I've gotten that.
We just heard be like,
I've got
"I don't like the dark." Yeah. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!"
Well, you know what? He would hate goose.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any goose.
Now the goose is on the table.
And goose is a lot of dark meat.
So's duck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't really care for that.
I like dark meat.
I do, too.
Not as good for you as the other stuff I like.
Well, I read once.
Please tell me it's okay, because you know when turkey comes around in Thanksgiving, I'll eat the dark stuff.
It's not that much difference because it has some stuff that the white meat doesn't have in it as well.
All right, here's what I've been doing.
That's good for you.
Since the pandemic kicked in, every weekend I smoke either a chicken or a turkey.
And a lot of weed.
On my smoker.
In the smoker?
Yeah.
Okay, or in the bunk.
In the smoker.
Got it.
Yeah. And I'll
you're a smoker from way back.
Yeah. If y'all like the dark meat, I'll save you the dark meat. Because I know the white meat's awful tasty. Tastes really good.
I like white meat, too. I like white meat, too. I just don't avoid dark meat.
Yeah, the dark meat's
better. Because I'm not racist.
Well, I'll bring it in for you.
Please.
Be glad to.
So the oldest millennial is now 39.
Isn't that crazy?
Those under 40 are more diverse. Almost half identify as being part of a racial or ethnic minority.
Good. Good.
That's weird to me about the millennial, because like, I'm 38, so I'd be... I'm in a weird spot in between like Generation X and a millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I'm technically millennial by his definition right there, but I don't really identify with the millennial.
No. And Todd,
1981 to 1996.
Todd Nye and Craig, and I'm going to, against our boss' wishes, we are boomers, but we're not. I don't identify with that.
No.
In fact, I read an article about what the group that you and I and Craig fall into. There's like a five to six year period in there that they almost call us the lost generation because we're not.
We're kind of on the cusp of Gen X and boomer.
I don't feel like I'm a Gen X. I definitely don't feel like I'm a boomer because boomer lasted from 46.
Yeah,
for 20 some years.
Yeah, Puss and I fall in the same spot with the Gen X and the millennial.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not a millennial. I had a pager and I know how to work a VCR. Like, I don't think that makes me a millennial. I don't understand.
That's true.
Yeah, I was born in November.
Well, they have to group people together somehow.
Yeah.
It's like, it always drives me crazy when you hear like a radio station that says you only play the 70s and you'll hear a song from 1979 doesn't sound anything like a song from 1970. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds, 79, song sounds like a song could be released in 85. So they have to stop somewhere.
Right. And that's got to be a cutoff.
That's
somewhere.
the same way when it comes to age.
Right.
Group.
And a song from 70 can sound like a 64, 65.
Right.
But when you're that close to one of their break lines on those generation things.
And a lot of people are. A lot of people are, right?
Yeah. Like I say, I was born in November of 80. So right. I'm literally right there on the cut line, but I don't feel like a millennial.
No.
Not at all.
And I never felt like Gen X either, because I was into like all the grunge music and everything. But like the movie singles came. Like I wasn't getting laid listening to Nirvana. I was hoping to get laid, but there was just people just a few years older than me that were having like.
I love that movie too. That's a great movie. Singles is a great movie.
And I've seen the same thing where they'll try to throw a little mini generation in there, like from 78 to 83, and throw us into that little category. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work because a generation isn't 5 years.
No. And like I said, it's the same thing. We're thrown into some generation group about five years, too, mm-hmm. that grew up a little differently.
It seems the definition of those generations is a little wide.
Right.
Yeah, it is. And
But in general, people under 40, hell, I hope people under 50 for that matter, but people under 40, multi-generational when it comes to, multicultural, not homophobic, not xenophobic, pro-choice. All this stuff's going to win out. It's just a long, slow slog because we got the Ditkas and the
All right, Mitchell says, tell Puss and Nick to look up Zennial, Zennial.
Yeah, that's the one that I've heard.
I, too, am 38. I fit that sub-gen rather than Gen X or millennial.
Yeah. Well, I remember we were kind of like the bridge generation because I knew, like, you know, dial-up internet was coming around when I was in, like, middle school and stuff. And just waiting for
how it works.
Pixelated nipple to show up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
We still wait for that, don't we?
Yeah.
And then we feel like you earned it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember printing pictures off and saving them for later because it took too long.
Little Nick masturbating, huh? All right.
or just having a magazine.
Yeah. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're the magazine generation, believe me. I know how to masturbate to a magazine.
We made that work. Sometimes I needed
the help
of
that's why we bond. We know how to do that. Right?
I don't know about you, but I needed the help of the penthouse form.
Oh, to read that. Oh, yeah.
I needed the erotica.
Yep. Ask your dad, Nick.
Paint a theater to mind. Yeah.
He was still masturbating the chicks.
He had the international mail catalog in the bathroom, and he was still married to my mom.
Hey, they have some nice outfits.
Yeah, and dudes with big packages.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Not sure what the hell just happened?
Yeah, join the club, pal.
We dare you to live through it again. Grab the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or TNTRadioEmpire.com.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.